right, bear with me a minute. I'm going to advance this through until we get where we need to be. Okay. All right. So last week we got through all of the pieces of the armor. And here in a minute we're going to take an inventory. And I'm going to ask all of you to think way back when you decided to become a Christian. And when you donned your spiritual armor. At that moment in time, or shortly after, did you have a full and total awareness of what putting that armor on really meant? And this isn't rhetorical. I'd like for you guys to make some comments, because I think your wisdom would be invaluable. Okay, I didn't say it wouldn't be a challenge. But we had some inkling, though, right? Sure.
Well, I was 10 years old, 7 years ago.
Okay. Pretty good. Okay.
You know, when I think back, I didn't know what I was getting into. And even as I grew and matured, still hadn't got that yet, but as I matured, you know, I was under the impression that it was, you know, I was like a lot of them in those biblical days, that this was something that I was up against and I could see and I could deal with it. Even now I'm starting to learn that these individuals, this that we're up against is more spiritual than it is physical.
It is.
And a lot of it lies on me, in particular in the decisions that I make.
And that's the thing we have to wake up with every day, knowing that every day is a new day. And with that new day are new challenges, and with that becomes, I'm going to put it like this, every day through prayer, we have to renew our strength. We have to renew our courage. We have to renew everything that's in us, everything that God has given us to take the fight to the evil one. Perhaps a prayer when we get up in the morning should be about putting on the spiritual armor. God, thank you for allowing me another day. And in doing so, I pray that the spiritual armor that I put on will be ready, will be worthy of the battle. I pray that I will have the strength and the courage to once again step onto that battlefield. I pray that I may have the ability and the opportunity to stand firm in my faith so that I can show the opposition that I am not afraid. Maybe that's how we start a prayer. It doesn't have to be that way every morning, because there are other things and other priorities. But as we get into prayer next week, prayer is our lifeline. And we have to take advantage of that. God tells us to use it. He gives us a direct line. And sometimes I think, maybe not so much in this group, but in the other younger age groups, we don't take it as seriously. We haven't developed that intimate relationship with our Father in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to feel the need to take advantage of the avenue of prayer. Or perhaps we haven't been challenged, or we haven't been put in a situation where we have been put on our knees to ask for help. So that avenue of prayer is one of the key essential abilities we have to help us to be good stewards, to help us to be good soldiers, and to take the fight to the devil. So let's take an inventory. We have our helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the belt of truth. We have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what do we look like? Now, again, at this particular point in time in our age, we may look a little different. But I want us to think about, again, back at that time in which we donned our armor. Did we look like this? Shiny, new, strong, confident, ready to go to battle. Everything's polished and working great. Sure. Or did we look like this? Ready to go to battle. Ready to take on the evil one. But humbly kneeling before our Lord and Savior to say, be with me. As a soldier, help me to be gracious, humble, compassionate. Help me to be have the ability to kneel before you in the avenue of prayer with confidence, knowing that I can ask you for what I need, and that you'll answer my prayers. Knowing that when I present the names of my brothers and sisters in Christ before you in prayer, that not only will you hear me, but if my prayer is in faith, that you will answer my prayer. So is this the way we look? I would say, if we read of Paul in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, Paul tells us, and I'm going to read this, so if you'll turn or just listen, in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith. So, I'm suggesting, as we present ourselves to Christ, we do so with humility and humbleness. In Romans 1:16, Paul tells us not to be ashamed, that we stand with confidence in an offensive posture to let our fellow soldiers in the world know that we are a living force, that we are not just for show, that we are not a paper dragon, that we are to be contended with, that we mean business. Because as we read in the Scripture, we know that without a doubt, Satan is just going to be as determined to take us away from heaven than we are to keep our place. And we want everyone, including Satan, to be able to recognize us, our status as a warrior, by our faith. We stand with confidence in the offensive posture, so we must have the courage to stand alone. We pray that we can battle this force collectively, but on an individual basis, on our daily trials and tribulations and the daily situations that we face, we typically face those alone. The willingness to not be ashamed of our faith. Any time in which we have a moment of doubt is an opportunity for Satan to penetrate our armor. And that moment of doubt can occur any time in our spiritual life. Just because we are at the age that we are, seasoned, experienced, a lot more wiser, definitely have a lot more knowledge about us as far as the Word of God goes, we are still susceptible. And that is the awareness we have to have as well. The overwhelming desire to be a servant for Christ. When we were baptized, we immediately became a part of this spiritual army. Whether we knew explicitly what those requirements were, or if we later on, as we grew in knowledge and truth, we come to know what was required of us as a spiritual warrior. If we lack desire, if we lack zeal, if we've become complacent, if we've become retired from our spiritual activities, then we become susceptible. So just because we've arrived at the age of which we are doesn't mean we're immune to those arrows. We must have a servant's heart. And that servant's heart, as we get older in life, does not get hard. That servant's life does not get unapproachable. That servant's heart does not get tired and lazy. As we get to the age of which we are, our abilities to serve and to participate in activities may change. But we always have a place to step in. We always have a place to help out. We always have an opportunity for us to continue to serve . Those roles just may look a little different. And I want to make a clarification. And I want to apologize for this. When I talk, sometimes I talk about teaching and preaching. And maybe I should talk a little bit more about the Great Commission, about going into the world and baptizing. But I talk about a teacher and a preacher primarily because they're in the forefront. They're on the front line. Those are the ones that everybody, in addition to the world, sees all the time. And my apology is that the fact that I may have appeared to lessen or taken away the importance of all of those wonderful, blessed saints who are busy and actively participating behind the scenes. And I want to clarify that that was not my intention. We all have abilities. We all have God-given abilities. And especially if we recognize those abilities and we are using those abilities to our fullest, then God love you. Because God is with you. You are doing the work that has been asked of you. You are fighting the good fight. And you are as much of a target as any preacher or teacher. And perhaps even more so. So, when I talk about teachers and preachers, a lot of times it's context related, because those are individuals who are in the forefront. But I want to thank you and continue to pray for all of you who are actively, visibly serving in the background, teaching, preparing our material, taking care of other ministries, and just every day out there shaking hands and talking and living and planting the seed. Thank you very much. And that's what having a servant's heart is all about. We have to have a mental attitude. We have to have an ability to get up, to look in the mirror and say, let's go get them, tiger, because we know Christ and our Father God is behind us. We have examples, Paul being the most prominent example in the New Testament. If we look at what he went through in his entire life and didn't give up, didn't throw in the towel, and we look towards the end of his life when he's in prison in Rome and he is singing songs, what greater example do we have than that? How many of you have been in a Roman prison lately? I don't think so. How many of us have been scourged in the last 30 days? Now, Cindy's threatened me with a skillet, but, you know, I still have a little bit on her. I can get out of the way. That's right. That's right. And I'll say, maybe not in my lifetime, but within a short period, definitely in Jessica's lifetime, that if you profess to be a Christian and you boldly stand out there and say, this is who I am, that the persecution that you will be challenged with won't just be verbal. I think we're getting to that point. The world is changing. And the benefit we have of being at our age is that we can be a strong, steadfast example to the upcoming generations to keep the faith. To show them, if they're not as familiar with what Paul in the Word, to show them what we truly are, a living sacrifice to what it means to be a Christian. that nobody here, I would say, has just had an easy path to righteousness. We all, somewhere down the road, have experienced heartaches, confrontation, trouble, any kind of situation related to work or owning your own business, to just dealing with the pressures of raising your family and dealing with, am I making and doing the right things? We truly can be additional encouragement to our younger brothers and sisters, to our younger families, to the younger generation that is growing up, that are just now getting into the world and making their place, to say, it's okay to be Christian. It's okay to have values that are different than the world. And when we stand up and we square up and we put our chest out and we've got that shiny suit of armor on, the world knows that we mean business. Larry? Yeah.
And they don't have a sense of respect, or that you've been there, so now then it's our turn, that's their attitude. And I remember talking to my dad whenever he retired. Mom and dad lived down in the Valley of Texas for several years. And them and a group down there,
yeah.
They don't do that much. You know, it's a different world. And I'm not saying we give up. I'm just saying that that's realistic.
It is. And that increases the challenges. Right. Yeah. And I think that's why it's that much more important. Our primary focus needs to be on the children and the young men and women that are coming up in the church, so that we don't lose them. So that when they become the age of accountability, when they've snipped the ties between mom and dad, and they step out into the world, that there is retention. That they won't be wooed by the bright lights and big cities of the world. As Larry was saying, in his generation, there was a greater respect for your adults. There was a greater respect for authority. I grew up in that last generation, I believe, where you were seen and not heard. Everything was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. If I heard my mom, my dad, or grandparents, or anybody in adult authority say something, and I went, huh? What? I was in trouble. We knew where our place was. And that's not a bad thing. We knew how to respect adults. We knew how to respect their things, their property. We knew how to respect their opinion. And a lot of times, we knew to listen and to be quiet. Today it's not that way. Today you have some sort of authority figure, And it seems to be a personal challenge for an individual. I want to say have a vigorous and lively conversation, but most of the time it's has a lot more of an aggressive nature to it. Or they just come right out and tell you to shut up. Times have changed. And that makes that challenge on us that much more harder. And so that's why it's important that we're reminded what a servant's heart is and what that involves. So we look at both of these. We are in the Lord's army. Congratulations to you. Now, I would say, based on what I've shared and what I've read and stuff, that as a spiritual warrior, we can have both of these. And I'll go as far as just saying that I believe it's essential. We have to have that humbleness, that meekness, that ability to kneel before our God in prayer. But when it comes to stand before Satan, we want to have our best on. Because when you're dressed like that, there is an inbred sense of confidence. In addition to knowing that you've been trained, in addition to knowing that you are on a winning team, in addition to knowing that all of your brothers and sisters in Christ on either side of you, in front or back, are dressed and have the same attitude as you. That is the power. That's what gives us the confidence. And knowing that we have a red line communication through prayer to our God and Father in heaven. And let me tell you, it's going to take every bit of all of that for us to overcome the temptations. For us to overcome the challenges. For us to overcome all of the opportunities that the evil one is going to try to take advantage of us. Now, once we're suited up, once we're ready to go, now what do? What's that? Buckle up. Because I guarantee you, if we stay there and wait, we are going to get hit with a force that we would never anticipate. Now, that force is one that's not going to hit us in the nose and make us bleed and our eyes water. That force is not going to be one that hits us in the chest and causes us to lose our breath and causes us to step back a little bit. That force is going to be a force that is cunning, that is wily, that is very subtle. And perhaps a force that is even cloaked in the light of an angel.
Well, John, I hate to keep taking up the time. But
no, you go ahead.
You know, that is so powerful what you're saying, because it goes back to what Brother Larry was talking about. You know, the things that he saw and dealt with in his youth versus what we see and deal with today. And I'm reminded, you know, in my career as a firefighter, and if Brother Jim was in here, he could probably attest to what I'm saying. You know, back then, those days in firefighting, he saw a lot more fire than he saw anything. Whereas today's firefighter, less than 10% of what we do is fight fire. Mm. Wow, the devil. And they can be very
They can. And those wiles, what do they play on when it affects us? What are the things we are challenged to protect? Our heart, our mind, our soul. And our strength, if we throw that in there. Because a weak soldier isn't any more effective than one who is not focused. So that's why we have to now look inward, even at our age, to make sure that all of those weaknesses we deal with, all of those personal individual weaknesses, which are different from everybody in this room, to make sure that we are continually guarded and aware of those weaknesses so that we can fortify and be prepared. Prayer. Prayer always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's in Ephesians 6:18. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And in Colossians, pray for each other that we might be faithful witness for the Lord. Prayer. I can't say it enough. Prayer is the one thing that we have complete and total control of when it comes to us. We can't determine what we're confronted with, for the most part, every day. The challenges, the temptations. But what we can control is our prayer life. And that prayer life has to be as strong as the appearance of our armor. And the only way that we get a strong, effective prayer life is by knowing who our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is on an intimate level. We are given the Great Commission to go out to teach and preach and baptize into the world. But I would say that individually, in order to do that and to do that effectively, we have to be well read in God's Word. And that doesn't stop. That doesn't stop at age 50. That doesn't stop at age 60. It should never stop. There's always so much more here we can learn. There's always so much more here that we can look at. If we look at this as an avenue to our Father in heaven instead of a textbook, I think we'll be more successful. When we decided to get married and to look for a mate, did we just go to the dime store and put a quarter in the slot machine and pick out the first person that dropped in and get married? Not really. Now, some of us may have been able to pick out their true loved one at an early age, and you hear stories where, well, I saw him or her when I was 12 years old on the playground, and I got the privilege to marry that individual and live a long and happy life. What a storybook. I wasn't that fortunate. In my day of courting, I chased Cindy for several months. Nowadays, they probably call it stalking. I'd probably been in jail. She turned me down seven or eight times. but I was persistent. Probably would have gone to jail. But what I'm getting at is it took time. We made choices. We thought about those choices. And then once we picked out a mate, then we took the opportunity, what they said, that I grew up with, courting that individual. To get to know them. To find out a little bit more about them and more about their family. To find out if that truly is going to be a match that we can grow old with 40, 50, 60 plus years together. That's the same way with our Father in heaven. This should be our opportunity to search the scriptures, to get to know him. We already got to know him well enough to know that we wanted to be a part of this family. At that point, then we develop that relationship. And so we have already probably taken those steps. But it's just that much more important that every opportunity we have to share that with our younger generations, to let them know how important that is, that we do everything we can to encourage them, that we do everything we can to tell them it shouldn't be a burden to try to make time to read the scriptures. It should be a desire. And the times that we don't read or can't read, we should miss it as if we miss being away from our families. That's the heart of a servant. That's the nature in which we need to approach Christianity. And when we have that, then we have the full and complete backing of our Father in heaven. Because not only does he say, I will be there, but he also tells us if we ask him in faith and knowing that we have this relationship with him and knowing that our faith is strong, that he will answer our prayers. So that's what we do. We must dress for battle every day. Put on each item, pray to be ready to take the fight to the devil, pray for wisdom, pray for strength, pray for your fellow brother in Christ. That right there is something that you and I as a senior congregation members know is effective. That collectively, if we have not just one or two, but 10 or 15 or 20, praying on the behalf of one of our saints to take care of their cancer, to see them through an operation, to see them through difficulties which are struggling, whether it might be marriage, financial, losing a job, anything of that sort, or just pray on their behalf that they continue to fight the good fight. Knowing that all of those individuals are praying on their behalf, does that not give us confidence that God will hear our prayer? Yes, it does. And what else should we pray for? We should pray for that our armor is reflective of the battle that we have participated in. As new Christians, our armor is going to look like this. New, clean corners, no rubs, no tears, no bends, no creases. As older saints, this is what we're going to look like. If we've taken the fight and we've fought the good fight, then this is what our armor is going to look like. It's still effective. It's just broke in. The sandals fit and they feel good and they don't wear blisters on us. The handle of our sword is just right. Our shield is just right where we're so comfortable with it, we don't even know we have it on. We don't feel the weight of our breastplate and our belt and our sword because we are accustomed to it now. This is what a spiritual soldier looks like at different stages in their life. As seniors, we need to encourage the younger ones to stand fast, to be at the ready, and to go get them. And through our experience and our wisdom, we can help them to navigate those battles. Spiritual warfare. Okay, thank you. That concludes us. A little housekeeping. Next week, I need to be in the room with David for the young families. And so I need someone to take over class just for next week. Next week's class will be about prayer, so it won't be a hard subject. I'll have some guidelines and stuff, but what I'd like to suggest is that we have a couple of people do a prayer about what a spiritual warrior will ask for when he gets up in the morning, what he'll ask for or say during the middle of the day, and what he'll ask for or say at night. And then I would like to take a little bit more intimate reflection on those in our family who need prayers and have somebody say prayers over those who are currently requesting prayers and somebody say prayers on our extended prayer list. And then I'll have some guidelines and some scripture. But if somebody could volunteer to take care of my class for next Sunday, that'd be great. Are you okay with that? Okay. So Donnell's going to take class next week, and I'll get with him. But next week will be over prayer. So thank you all very much.